thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah concludes the Empowered series with a message titled Empowered to Go. Now here's Pastor Ray.
So we're in this series on the Holy Spirit, and this is today will be our 11th sermon, our 11th message in this series. And so if you've been here that whole time, this is number 11 for you. If you've not been here the whole time, where have you been? I mean, come on, where have you been? This has been my favorite series of all time in my life. I'm telling you, I've so enjoyed this. And I feel like I am walking more closely with the Holy Spirit than ever before. I believe that change is happening in me. Maybe you don't see it, but I know that the Lord has been changing me as I've just been yielding and inviting the Holy Spirit to change me in these prayers that we've been praying every day. So I've loved this series, and I know many of you have as well, as we've talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, as we've talked about the work of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. We've talked about baptism with the Holy Spirit. We've talked about speaking in tongues. We've talked about the Holy Spirit is the dove, the gentle dove, and what all that means, the symbolism of that. Pastor Joel spoke a couple of weeks, and we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We've talked about spiritual warfare and the Spirit involved in that. Last week, Pastor Bill gave a great message on the yielding principle, the instead principle of be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just think that we've been at least in the teaching ministry, and hopefully he's been anointed, we've been saturated with a lot of truth about the Holy Spirit. So many of you have felt this is a very powerful time in our church, a significant time in our church as well. Some of you are not real comfortable with me with some of the things that I've said, and I get that. And I would just acknowledge to you that as a pastor, I still see through a glass darkly, and so do you. And so if you've been ruffled by this a little bit, if you've been challenged, if this has been off of your grid of comfort, oh, that's okay. Just go on a journey with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I would ask you to do. So I know a number of you have talked to me, and you've not been mean about it, but I just know that there's some discomfort or some differences, or there's not full understanding, or I'm not always clear about things. Imagine that. But I would just ask you to do this, that you would invite the Holy Spirit to take you on that journey and just allow him to speak to you. He wants to be closer to you than you realize. He wants to fill you. He wants to empower you. So I would just say that you would say, God, Holy Spirit, whatever you want, that's what I want. And then I would also say this. Do not elevate whatever this means to you. Do not elevate your past experience above the Word of God. If you think you know it all, or if you come from a certain theology or a certain experience in the Holy Spirit, and that experience is very powerful to you, and experience is, that's great, but do not elevate that above what the Word of God says. And so just go back to the Word as it relates to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, teach me, and then do with me what you wish. Now, today, on this Kingdom Builders Investment Sunday, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and missions. The Holy Spirit and missions. And I want to begin with a question. And this is the question. What is the primary evidence of a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church? I want you to think about that. What is the primary evidence? We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. What is the primary evidence of a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you, first of all, let me tell you what it's not. This is not the primary evidence of whether this church is Spirit-filled or any church is Spirit-filled or not. Spirit-filling, Spirit-filled church or Spirit-led church is not demonstrated by the manifold public expressions of the charismata. It's not demonstrated in how much in the services among the people, our tongues, and message interpretation of tongues and prophetic words. That's not it. Nothing wrong with that. And I long for more of that in its proper place. That doesn't indicate whether you're a Spirit-filled church or not. It is not enthusiastic outbursts of spontaneous and expressive praise. There's some people that judge a church's spiritual level, their spiritual temperature, by how much praise and worship, vocal praise and worship. There is, again, nothing wrong with that. I long for us to be more expressive in our praise, simply because I want you to be overwhelmed to the point where you cannot keep contained what the Lord is doing in you. I think that's a wonderful thing, but that doesn't mean that you're a spirit-filled person or this is a spirit-filled church. It is not about moving worship as much as we have moving worship here. It's not about anointed preaching. Hopefully we have that every once in a while. It's not about cool technology. It's not about great coffee, although that's close, I think, to being a spirit-filled church. It's not about beautiful buildings or beautiful stages, beautiful sets. It's not about big budgets that churches might have. And it's not even about, and this is the way American Christianity seems to evaluate the success and the level of spirit filling in a church these days, it is not about the size of a congregation. Unfortunately, that's how churches get judged in America today. If you're not a mega church with multi-sites and video venues and all of that kind of stuff, you must not be a spiritual church. That's not it. Nothing wrong with that. If God gives you that increase, nothing wrong with that. But that is not the primary evidence of spirit filling in the corporate body of the church. Are you ready for what it is? I've told you what it's not. Here's what it is. I would say that the evidence of spirit filling, spirit leading is a church's commitment to go. Yeah, boom. That's it. It's a church's commitment to go. That's the first and primary evidence that Jesus said would happen when the Spirit comes upon us and inhabits us and fills us as a congregation. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said this to his disciples and to you and to me by extension. He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but when you will receive power. You will receive empowerment when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will take the gospel, the good news, outward. You will be my witnesses. Read the rest of this with me. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Turn to somebody and say, uttermost. Because that's the last time you'll use that word in a long time, probably. We don't use it anymore. That simply means to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. You're going to go out further and further and further with the gospel, the good news, to the very ends of the earth. That is a spirit-filled church. That's a spirit-filled church. That's a spirit-led church. When they're taking the gospel out, when they're committed to go, to going. Now, would you allow me just a few minutes of unashamed, unabashed bragging? Could I just be over the top and insufferable in bragging about something? And I'm not going to talk about my grandkids. That's what you usually expect after something like that. As a pastor, as the pastor of this church, as your pastor, I couldn't be prouder of Portland Christian Center for your commitment to boldly go to your Jerusalem and in your Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts, to the ends of the earth. Portland Christian Center, you are truly a spirit-filled church. And I'm so proud to be your pastor. I really am. I am. I wore a stretchy sweater today so I wouldn't burst any buttons because I'm so proud. I'm so grateful and I'm proud of this church. And I know that we're not supposed to compare. Paul says you're foolish, you're earthly, you're fleshly if you compare. But could I be fleshly for just a moment? I would put Portland Christian Center up against any other in that regard. You are a spirit-filled church precisely because of your commitment to going. So today, I want to talk about how Portland Christian Center has translated spirit-filling into missional going. I'm going to give you a stockholders report of just what's happened this year. Now, as I've said, to see a church's commitment to spirit-filled living, you've got to look at its dedication to going. But you know what? Talk is cheap. It's easy to say that. If you want to see how dedicated a church is to going into all the world with the good news, look at its checkbook. Do they put their money where their mouth is. Look at their bank register. Look at their financial statement. Take a look at financially what they've done in their commitment to go into all the world. Would you like to know how much Portland Christian Center has given to missions in the last decade? Say yes, because I'm going to tell you. So you might as well say yes. Any guesses? Any guesses? How much in a 10-year period, any guesses how much this church has committed to missional going, to missions? I want you to turn to the person next to you. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds, and I want you to make a guess. And if you're on the staff or on the board of elders or in the first service, you can't answer this, okay? Take a guess. How much in the last decade has Portland Christian Center given to missions? Venture an answer. All right. So I asked our business office to just look back to 2008, which is when Lynn and I came back to Portland Christian Center, and tell us what we've done in missions giving in that time. So not even 10 years now. Anyone here guess $5 million? Well, you're way low. Anyone guess $10 million? Yeah, no. We have given in 9.5 years, we have given $13 million to World Missions. That's a Spirit-filled church. $13 million. Did anyone guess, not on the staff or on the elders or first service, anyone guess $13 million? Did anyone guess that? Really? Okay, so anyone else? So I have a $1 million bar for you, all right? You've got to come up here and get it. Come on. Here's a $1 million bar. So now we have $12 million left to do missions, right? $13 million. Now listen to this. I think this is even more impressive. $13 million came in and went out, did not stay here, went out to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Didn't stay here at all, didn't increase my salary, didn't do anything in this church. It went out. During a time when we believed the Lord had called us to get completely out of debt, and during that same time, we gave almost $3 million to pay off our bank loan. So while we were getting out of debt, we were still giving and giving beyond the call of duty to world missions. And we did that, if you'll remember, and this year we announced we're debt-free, right? We did that because God was telling us that he wanted us to take debt dollars and repurpose those to more missional advancement in a greater way than ever before, because we were taking serious this call and our commitment to go into all the world. Now, I hope you understand my heart here, and I hope that you won't think that this is all about money to me, because it's not. There's a lot more that goes into this. Of course there's been giving. Of course there's been an emphasis on programmatic giving. But I understand this was a lot about prayer and sacrifice and showing up and rearranging your lives to be a part of this and giving in other ways as well, your gifts, your talents, your passion to things. So this isn't just about money. You know, Pastor Ron and I and others have been a part of staffs where that's all they did. There was such a need for money, and that's all they talked about. We were part of a church that every Sunday was a sermon on money. It really was. And then there was the other sermon too, but it was all about, you know, there was so much talk about that. And I said, I swore if I'm ever a pastor, I'm not going to make it about money. So please don't think that this is all about money. This just happens to be a very strong indicator of it. And I hope that I don't come off in a self-congratulatory way in bragging about all of this. But that is a Spirit-filled church in the truest sense, where it puts its money. So we've done enough of this, all right? So just pat yourself on the back, and we're going to just now leave that behind, right? Great job. You've done a great job. Congratulations. But there's always a but, isn't there? But As amazing as all of that's been, God doesn't want us to rest on our laurels, friends. There's still a lost world out there. There's still a ton of unreached people all around the world, including right here in Portland, that God has called us to refocus and repurpose and reinvest and up our intensity of missional giving so that we can fulfill the Great Commission and the purpose of the great empowerment of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And so that's why, beginning in 2017, we launched this idea, this vision called Kingdom Builders. It was a new effort to not only push our missional borders even further outward than we'd already done, but to strengthen our home base that has been put on the back burner for a lot of years until we got out of debt. We have neglected some of the ministry, some of the building needs of this church. And so Kingdom Builders was not only to keep pushing out, but also to strengthen our home base so that we could be effective and healthy and thriving and growing in our ministries here. So we've done a lot of things already this year. And I want to give you this stockholders report, just a quick bird's eye flyby view of some of the things that we've done already this year, that you've done already this year. So James Pulitz has put this together for us. I want you to watch about a 60-second video of some of those things. So let's roll the tape.
With Kingdom Builders, the Holy Spirit has been at work in our church and our neighborhood. Here are a few ways God has used Kingdom Builders to make a greater impact. We launched a new, unique worship service in the chapel at 9 a.m. We created a faster, safer check-in experience for families. We refreshed a couple key rooms to provide quality spaces for our diverse communities to meet in. God enabled us to replace the roof of the sanctuary that was almost 40 years old. We began cleaning up the corner property in Hillside, as well as opening sight lines so you can see the church from Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. We updated a couple spaces where parents are able to care for infants and small children while still engaging in community. We partnered with Student Reach as they launched mentoring and coaching programs for refugees in our local schools. Through the Urban Missions Initiative, we planted a couple unique, non-traditional church plants in the city of Portland.
Now, most of that was behind the scenes, other than the corner property. You've not seen a lot of that going on, but we have done a lot of infrastructure work on the building as well as some of our ministries. Some of you have asked, well, what in the world is the deal with the corner property? I thought you were going to fix it. Well, I'm trying. It's hung up with the city right now, so you pray with us, but we think we're getting closer to being able to complete that. So some of these things are ongoing. He ended by talking about the Urban Missions Initiative. You know, I don't know if you I've talked a little bit about this, but we have already planted in the downtown unreached Pearl District. We now have two churches that we've planted that are running 50 to 60 people every single week. And we have a third one that's about to be launched in a part of the city that they said it won't work down there because people don't care about the church, they don't care about the gospel, they have other things going on, and we've said that's exactly the kind of place where Jesus wants to build his church. We've understood that they're not going to come to Portland Christian Center. They're not going to come to any church, so let's take the church to them. And so we've embedded a missionary down there, and it is going amazingly well. Already, these two church plants thriving with a third one ready to go. And our model, our Urban Missions Initiative model, is now being looked at around the nation as a potential way to reach the increasingly unreached urbanized centers in America in this post-Christian society that we live in. You know that Portland is the number one unchurched community in America today. By statistic, we are 10% lower in church attendance than either Seattle or San Francisco. We're number one, and that ain't a good number one to have. People aren't going to church. Traditional church. They're not even going to unique, except we're finding a way to plant these faith communities, these faith gatherings in different places in the most creative way, and God is using it. And these three churches are all in these vertical neighborhoods, and people are hungry because because people are hungry and we're taking the bread of the gospel to them. Our model is working, and that's because of you. In 2017, the Holy Spirit enabled Portland Christian Center to boldly go into our Jerusalem and into our Judea, the nearby area. We've done that through the Urban Missions Initiative. We've started this student reach program that's mainly reaching immigrant students, many of them Muslim. That's now been launched and it's going strong. Youth department, our college career department, our children's department have reached out to Stevens Creek Crossing just up the hill, this under-resourced community that many of them are immigrants as well. Did you know that we're now bringing them on campus for things and they're begging us to bring them down here? Many of them are from unreached ethnic groups, unreached countries that have immigrated to Portland. Many of them are Muslim and they are coming to Portland Christian Center. We are doing our best, and we've started this year, and we've increased this effort to reach our own community. We've also been faithful to push back the darkness in our Samaria, which is the nearby and the under-resourced. One of the ways that we've done that historically is through our building teams that have gone to mostly to Central America and through our Little Davy team that is going to install and train on computer technology, not only in Latin America, but in the Caribbean nations. And I'm going to invite Dave Martin. I think he's close by here. Would you welcome Dave Martin as he comes to the platform? And Dave has been a team leader of this for many years now, but this has gone on even, Dave, before you led, for about 40 years or so now here at Portland Christian Center. So just tell us about what has happened in the last few months.
So 1975 was the first year that a team from First Assembly of Portland Christian was sent out. But over the 10 years that we've worked with the missionary Rod and Sherry Boyd, he shared a vision of a resource center in Panama City that would encourage, support, and facilitate the joint efforts of regional Spanish-speaking countries towards effectively educating ministry. This vision is becoming a reality. The picture you see there, phase one is on the left-hand side, phase two is on the right-hand side. The work, go ahead and go through them now. The work included digging footings, forming columns, bending and tying rebar, pouring concrete into bond beams and columns, and raising a few walls. In 2016, we had a good representative of the youth that joined the team, and they were a great asset. Pastor Aaron had them staging the second level while the remainder of the team worked on the lower level. The youth were also in charge of providing the daily devotion and did an awesome job. After 2 weeks, our team had put up over 70% of the walls on that second level in addition to completing those works below. With PCC's assistance, the first phase occupancy occurred in February of this year. When our second building team arrived, we had a facility that provided them kitchen and bathroom facilities. In over 30 years of building teams from this church, this was the finest kitchen they'd ever worked in. Best of all, the kitchen was on site, and so the kitchen crew could interact with the teams, along with all meals were prepared and we had the dining area there. Go back a slide, if you would. Just one more back or two back, if you can. I'm sorry for the team in 2016. One more.
Yeah. ¿Dónde está los baños?
Yeah, ¿dónde está los baños? But we had great facilities the second year. So the next phase was for housing. And Rod had a very tight deadline because he had a team of 35 coming for training in the month of August, the entire month. And he needed a place to have the training done along with a place for them to stay. And you're seeing the finished product there. The team started with a basic structure and a large stack of block. At the end of 2 weeks, the lower level was 80% complete of all the walls. And praise the Lord, with one other team coming and the locals that were working, Rod made his deadline, and the 35 teachers and educators had their training session. Sustainability is a key part of missions around the world. And this structure, that sustainability, is a key part that Rod has on that. So the movement of the offices from into phase one and taking that, And the use of the kitchen and the training in August is part of that sustainability. And PCC had a part of that, of reaching throughout Central and South America all these years. So thanks to the building teams. Thanks for those that were prayer partners of those building teams. And thanks for the giving of that. How many remember a computer like this? All right. Yeah, I like the chuckles because when an LACC student, Aldo, was asked what he was excited about going to his school, and he said that I'm going to learn about Jesus Christ, that I'll learn English, and I'll work on the latest in technology. That was it. 13 years ago, that was what he thought the latest in technology was. Now, I came from that environment, and that was retired at least 12 years prior to that part that I can remember. I remember the machine, but we were never using it. From that, Dave and Deborah Kaiser caught a vision, and they created Little Davy. And from that, it was to, the vision is to build computers from components purchased and brought from the United States into Central and South America and deliver and set up in Latin America childcare schools, providing them truly the latest in technology. Dave and Deborah aren't with us today. They had to be out of town, so I get to substitute for them. This year, Little Davy returned to Panama to deliver 75 computers to LACC schools. We'd been to Panama numerous times, both in building and a Little Davy, and we've always worked in the cramped offices downtown, crowded, and it was a hassle to get to. This year, we worked at the Resource Center. Spacious area that of the library space that we could do the production work in, and then also staying there and not having to worry about the travel. For those that were in the trips in 2016 and 17, it was 45 minutes to an hour on a good day to get from the hotel to the site. So not having to do that was great. It also, it was relaxing after we got done with delivering, coming back and having a place that we could relax in. After 2 days of production building, we then had 4 days of delivering to 7 schools those computers. During the delivery and setup, we also, as the picture shows here, we're also able to deliver some Bibles to students. There's an illustrated section in there that was great for the students, but also the teachers will now be using that as part of their textbooks throughout their education at there. The plan is in 5 years, every student will have come through and will have been given a Bible. During the delivery and setup at the La Felicidad School, we were introduced to the director, and who in turn introduced us to the math and computer teacher, Francisco. And Francisco explained to Rod that he had come to this school as a kindergartner and went through the entire school, went to university, and came back to teach. That's the full circle. But the neat part about that, he was one of three in that school alone. So Rod says the full circle of having people come back and do that is what it's all about. As part of the, at each school, is a final act that we go through. We ask a student to be a representative in front of each of the computers to sit there. The team prays over them and the computers that they would be used for God. During the team prayer, Dave leads in a prayer that always includes the students of the school will become leaders of their home, leaders in their community, and leaders in their country. Mm-hmm. And this is happening. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, through these pictures, you see the variety of people that have gone on these trips, whether it's building or computer. Yes, we have some very talented construction people and computer people, and they're skilled at what they do. But there's others that bring a skill of just willing spirit to further the spreading of the gospel. Does it look like the same people go each year? We'll talk to someone, and they'd tell you that God captured their heart on the trip, and they want to go again. We have youth who say when they finish college, we're coming back. We are encouraged by Pastor that we all need to participate in a missions trip, whether it's local or remote. We're currently working on plans for 2018. Little Davy is looking to return to El Salvador. The building team is exploring a possible project in South Africa. And so I would just encourage you to pray about it and join us, because it's life-changing. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to thank from this congregation those that have gave, those that have went, and especially those that have prayed, because it does make a difference. Thank you.
Yeah. Say thank you to Dave Martin, please. Well done. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's really been amazing over the years what these guys have done on these two different teams. And now to see the reproduction of that, the sustainability and reproduction, which is what we're all about. So, yeah, pray about being a part of that at some point. It's a great opportunity for us to together to continue to change the world. So that's really our Samaria. It's our close by. It's our under resource, but we're pushing past Samaria. And we literally this year as a church have gone to the uttermost parts of the earth. This year, Portland Christian Center sponsored a church plant in Manaus, Brazil. We have started a church, and we've actually helped them to build a church. Now, what's happening in Manaus, in Brazil, in the Amazon Basin, is there are 30,000 villages that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're unreached. 500,000 people in those villages that have never had a witness to Jesus Christ. And a couple of years ago, we sent out a missionary, a family, from Portland Christian Center, Cameron and Janet Burchett, and their two kids. And then they had a third child there on the mission field, and they are at work really helping to expand the gospel in that unreached region. What's happening is I think the Holy Spirit has begun to stir these unreached people groups to leave their communities, their villages, and migrate. There's a great migration, not only in Brazil, but around the world, where these unreached people groups are coming into the urban areas. The Holy Spirit is actually making it easier for us to reach the unreached, because they're coming to us. And Cameron and Janet have been a part of that. And as they reach these unreached people groups in the urban center, they're training them to go back out to their villages with the gospel to plant churches. And I want you to see a video from Cameron as he thanks us for our participation in helping him to get this going. Let's watch the video.
Good morning, Portland Christian Center, and greetings from the Amazon jungle. My name is Cameron Burchett, and I'm your missionary here in the Amazon region. Today, I'm in the Aikiru community. It's an urban indigenous community that is in the outskirts of the city. And I'm here with André Sateremawe, and he was a political leader, not serving Christ, but very involved in the movement among the urban indigenous. And as he went out to a conference about 2 days upriver, he was there and he began hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he began hearing about the 100 tribes who have never even heard the name of Jesus. And as he was there and as he was listening, he began to hear with his relatives about the name of Jesus. And he decided that he wanted to follow this God. And I came in contact with André, and he invited us to begin evangelizing, discipling, and looking for opportunity for a church to be formed in this region and in his community specifically. And we are praising God because there are new believers, brand new believers, a strong core group now of a church that is formed. And he is leading that church, and we are involved in the discipleship and the forming of that church. And as they were gathering together and as they were praying, they began to have a desire. We want a place of worship. We want a place that we can call our own. So they began gathering their resources. They would go into the jungle and cut wood, and they separated a piece of land behind me here to begin to build this church. As we realized, there is much more help that needs. And Portland Christian Center, we can't thank you enough. André is here, and he just wants to thank you for your support and for your generosity and gaining the rest of the materials and providing for that so that they could build this amazing building here behind us. It is the first urban indigenous church in Manaus. And would you pray for André and I? Because over this next year, we are developing a network among the urban communities where we desire to see these communities and in this region who have no access to the gospel, we desire to see discipleship, evangelism, and church planting begin to rise up among these communities. And once a month, we invite these different communities from all over into this church, into this area, so that we can share with them, connect with them, and spread the gospel among them. Would you pray with us? Would you pray with Andre? Would you pray with this church? Portland Christian Center, we're so grateful for you, for your support, and for what you have done to advance the kingdom in this area. Thank you so much. This is how, together, we change the world for the gospel and for the name of Jesus Christ. Portland Christian Center, God bless you.
Wow, isn't that great? I believe that this will be the first of hundreds of churches with God's help and through our support that we will plant throughout the Amazon Basin. God doesn't move. This is the end time harvest, and we get to be a part of it if we will step into it. What an exciting, exciting thing that we get to be a part of. Cameron will be back in the States, I think, around Christmas time, but I think Janet is here. Janet, are you here? Where are you? Stand up. Stand up, Janet Burchett. Where is she? I can't see you very well out there. Welcome home. Welcome home. And thanks for going, and thanks for representing Portland Christian Center. Thanks for doing the stuff, for taking the gospel and building the church in that part of the world. We're going to change the world down there. We really are. So thank you for your faithfulness, and we'll tell Cameron when he gets here as well. Well, what else can I say about what you've heard of before, and that's what the Petrus Network, Portland Christian Center's Petrus Network, is doing in the dark continent of Africa. Dark because it's just been unreached, and we've been primarily working in Ethiopia, but today Portland Petrus Network is working with 53 different denominations. We're working on three different continents, and we are in 9 different nations, preaching the gospel, pushing back the darkness, reaching the unreached, and planting churches. It's amazing what God has done through this effort. And just primarily working in Ethiopia. We're in many more places besides Ethiopia. But in Ethiopia, we started in the western province of Benishango Gumuz. When I came to Portland Christian Center, we were solidifying and wrapping that up. We planted, I think, over 1,700 churches there. By last count in 2010, hundreds of thousands of people belong to Jesus Christ. Move to the next slide, if you would. You'll see the progression of what we're doing. We moved from western Ethiopia to central Ethiopia in the West Shoah zone of the Oromia region, and we now have planted over 1,700 churches in the last 7 years. Hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Jesus. The region is changing. They tell us, the indigenous people tell us, this region has changed. And then God called us to move over to eastern Ethiopia, which is 96% Muslim. And people warned us. They said, it cannot be done. Well, we've now been there a year and a half, and we have 230 churches that have been planted. And moreover, we have 7,000 Muslim background believers that are now Christian believers because of what has taken place. Amazing what God has done through this church. And listen, doors are opening so fast. People are calling us from literally around the world, from Pakistan, from Yemen, from Myanmar, everywhere, saying, would you come and help us? And we are praying like never before to hear from God. And we're asking God, where do you want us to go? We'll go. Where do you not want us to go? We won't go there. But God, you show us. And we will be faithful to push back the darkness in new areas. And people ask me, why is Petrus Network, why has Portland Christian Center been so singularly blessed of God? Why do you see these numbers of salvations and church plants around the world? Not too many other organizations, if any that I know of, have been able to achieve this. What is the answer? And I think it's singularly this, because we are going where no one else will go. We're going to unreached villages. There is no presence of a gospel witness. There are no churches. There are no denominations. There are no parachurch organizations where we go. It is in the far out places. But that is the compelling call of the Great Commission and the Great Empowerment to go to the ends of the earth, to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we're doing that. And Jesus said that when you do that, when you go throughout the earth with the gospel, he promises this: I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, how is Jesus with us? He's with us, since we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's with us with the presence and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit as we go. And when the Holy Spirit is involved, things like this happen. You see an amazing growth. You see salvations. You see church plants. You see signs and wonders and miracles. You see the world get changed because the Holy Spirit is with us, because we are honoring Jesus' call to go to the ends of the earth. Well, I want you to hear about one of the most amazing things that has happened that in my memory in all of these missional efforts in Ethiopia. I'm going to invite Linda Noah to come, who is heading up our effort to do redemptive lift, to do the humanitarian things that should go along with the coming of the gospel. And she has been tasked with primarily working with widows and orphans and developing sustainable ministries to help change the lives of really the least of these, the cast-offs and the unwanted in a community. So, Linda, just take a few minutes and talk about what we've experienced recently with this.
Well, we started with church planting, and we always start with that because we really believe the church is the hope of the world. And we don't want to get it lost that as we come in with humanitarian things that we get so... Ray said it once to me. He says, if we had 1,000 wells but no one came to know the Lord, we would fail. And so we really have chosen to go into these communities first with the gospel, and then help governments and the people there really understand that the reason these other things come is because of the gospel. And we have really seen a literal revival, and we're having even a hard time keeping up with it, providing Bibles. We just recently had a thing where we'd brought in 5,100 Bibles on this last trip, and literally they were fighting to get copies of the Bible. How many of us have multiple copies of Bible sitting on our shelves, and they are fighting to get this? Well, when we really tried to make the decision on what should we do with humanitarian efforts, and because Petrus Network goes into these very rural areas, and some of you have gone with us, we have to do things like water, we do things like education, we do things like sports, we do things like feeding families and those kinds of initiatives. But one of the areas that I've really taken a lot of energy and investment in has been what we are calling the TESFA project. And TESFA means hope in Amharic. And as we began to pray about this and ask God, what should we do? Well, he took us to his word. And if you remember, there's a passage of scripture that's very clear on what genuine religion looks like. And that's found in James 1:27. And it says this: pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. And as we began praying about this, God gave me and those who are around me helping me just this vision for what we're calling the TESFA Center. And basically, it is a community center that is located in the heart of Gojo, Ethiopia. There's not much there except mud and sticks and some tin roofs. In fact, I want to give you an idea of what this looks like. It looks nicer because you're getting an overall view. Go ahead to the next slide and roll that. This view is, first of all, is the guest house that you're seeing in that flat area. You walk along, and this is also a church that we've helped build where we do our training. You walk along these dirt roads. Please note that there is not a paved road in the city. Because of rainy season, we were just there. There's big, deep rubbish that you have to walk through, and we're coming up on the TESFA Center. You begin to see it there, and it is probably one of the largest buildings in the community, and it looks very white right now, and eventually they want to put a red roof on it. They want to paint it. It's on 1,000 meters of land, and everything around it stinks, smells, and is difficult. But this building is absolutely gorgeous. The next slide shows you where we were holding our medical clinics. This is a pretty typical building in the area, done of mud and sticks, and again, the tin roof. And this is one of the halls. The next slide is one of the halls where we opened up for the TESFA Center. Quite a contrast. Now, this building is Ethiopian made. There's not a window, there's not a door that is the same measurement. crazy. And they made every single thing custom. They don't know how to do bathrooms. We're putting something in the area that they don't even know how to use. The bathrooms, oh my goodness. If you know construction and you come and saw this, you'd be just amazed by it. But they did this. And we took photos, filled it with the faces of the widows and the orphans that were serving, covered 55 photos in this area. And when these people walked into this building, they touched the floor. They touched the walls. They touched the sinks. They touched faucets that many of them had never seen before. They touched our signs. They touched the photographs. There wasn't really anything that they didn't touch, because it was just, they just sat in awe and wonder. And this is quite a contrast what God has done. One of our first events that we did that night was we made a presentation towards the government. They all showed up. And we also had represented every denomination. There was 19 denominations in the area. They all showed up. And one of the things that they did was dress Ray and I up in ceremonial garb. It was quite a sight to behold.
It's my magic turban.
We were so embarrassed.
That's my holy turban.
But literally, they kind of started grabbing us and putting these clothing on us. And we're like, wait, what? You know, kind of a thing. And so there we went, and there we did it. At this very moment, we have an organization by the name of Project Cure that's going in, and for $30,000, they're going to fill the center, a medical clinic portion of it, with $400,000 worth of medical equipment. I mean, this is quite a change for this little and amazing community. At the end of this ceremony that we had, the government said to us, we will give you any land you want, and we will give it to you for free, because we see what you are doing, and you are people of faith. Over the next several days, we did a women's training, and one of the things we invited was women leaders from the community, and we invited our widows. In fact, this is the picture of our widows, and what I loved about this is they came in here, and you know, they're amongst the leading women of the area, and they sat in the front rows like they owned the joint. And I loved that, because they saw that as being their building and something that they had been an incredible, incredible part of. We did training on this, and we did life skill development. We did Bible training. We did parenting. We did budgeting. And our dear, precious Terry Eastburn led a training session on feminine hygiene. And our women in our church had sewn 150 feminine hygiene kits that we dispersed to these women. And they were giggling, they were embarrassed, and they also wept. There was some of the women that came and kissed Terry on every spot, part of her face. They were so grateful. I want you to know I have blackmail photos of Terry Eastburn and Jana Cochran demonstrating these kits to these women. Ray made me commit not to share that today, but I have them. Yeah, I have them. And just quite a labor of love for the women in our church. We're so grateful. I mean, whether it be money and time and energy, this church is making missions happen around the world in such incredible, incredible ways. The other thing that we did there was we did some events with our orphans. We have total through now a sponsorship of 150 orphans. We're going to launch with 50 more in 2018. We did crafts and teaching sessions with them. And then we also passed out these kits that had toys and school supplies. These kids have never seen stuff like that. In this area, there's no grocery stores, there's no shopping. And so whatever we have, we bring in, and it's really quite remarkable what God has helped us to do. And Lorraine Zumwalt put these kits together for us. The other thing that we did is we ran a medical clinic in this beautiful, beautiful Ethiopian-built building. We took a team of 41 people with us. We serviced 500 people through the clinic with all free medicines and free care. And we saw diseases and illnesses in this area that people were telling me they've only seen it on National Geographic. Church, you have helped to do something so incredible, and we're watching the hope of Jesus being lived out in this community, and he is getting an incredible reputation for what God is using us to do and be a part of. The other thing that we're doing is we're working with special needs children, and a woman in our church, Jana Cochran, has taken this on. She works a full-time job. Petros Network right now is a volunteer-led ministry. She works a full-time job and just really stepping out in the area. And the first time she met this little Down syndrome girl, she sat down on the ground with her, gave her a mirror, and says, "Jesus says that you're beautiful." This little girl had never seen her face before, and this gave this family hope that God does know them and God does see them. Man, it's incredible what we get to be a part of, and we're so excited about it. In fact, there's so much to share. I'm going to be out in the lobby, and I've got a little table out there, and I'd love to talk to you more about this. But I want to show for you really quickly one of the women that we are helping. And so if they'll go ahead and launch this next video and see, just it gives you an idea of the environment and the community that we're serving in.
Bayi ini terlibat catur, geruar lah wakayu awal fatu. Uman jadi kuah hujung mahum natu natu faca jerawan tayu malah. Gabarin tu, ujata, kuna, kalfane isman jiran natu. Kalau rumah cek, sewajin je cut. Jaga tanding ni, nanu, perbentan. Uge ufe, tersabar rabbasha, anak rabbasha, nata ulu nara, naru pun terbentuk rumah cek. Kan mana tambah? Ini biaya lafaz. Ani aman terang, tapi kan aku tinggal ada. Bishan itu matu naul tayen nurun kufoya udah tabe, baru mana semua gadimale hulka udah tabe me, sabamu masani nanggal laki sih, dah jujur. Gudin njiruan tayf, nemni tarum malif, udah cukup dia. Bayi yang dipadu antai hal di mana apa, wanita kuda tak kiti betah cura bayi ufat. Kuntuju. Hakenya furat endai me, abba tabah pale alat endai betul. Biu kuni usulnya difi, insya Allah. Amati kau biranji. Sambira, ergesi garu buaya tak ketinggalan kau antai, buaya saga pada ninjiru antai, isambira sudah tinggal di situ. Oma sin lagi nyer gangga mana dabe, ala sini tinjir tu san rumah lagi. Jiratte, ala gadi bu ajaratte, kesel lalle, buaishi semua. Anuman tu rasa tips sebalat arage, kuntalat ini ke, esabat esanjirat. Karena rumah rumah ni uji bira, haramu, wantin itu no jat tips, wana kana no jat, wana kana foya jat untunju. Ujuma umna kau tenanjirat, galat awakai. Karena mama ni umah bira, wantin anu umah sinjiru, jiru bira atas, umanu, itinu, ar item bulan balai, uam boru touch je aje, sinjiru. Karena fokus sena tanjat unjuru jadi. Aika wanu magabar rajir tuyo tate male mas tu jera malu suke ojat cuti. Akana gubratan baratan ifit ani. Akau fifis fokus ani anan fokus sena bar. hojiin humna hoggaan jedhu waan hojjetanii ta'e barumsa isaanii xumuratanii ofiifis fooyya'anii anas akkanaa jiraachisanii yeroo nuuroo yookaan dadhabuu ta'an danda'amu yookaan immoo humni koo hankanaa gadii danda'amu isaan immoo ol deemu waan ta'eef guddina isaanii tanawaa jechuudha. Maqaan koo biraanii umuriin koo 35 jireenyi koo magaalaa Gojjoo.
The average age of marriage for a woman in this country is between 12 and 14 years of age. Some of our widows are 19 years old. The life expectancy is maybe in the 40s. They don't live very long generally, but God is really helping us to have a huge impact in this area and really watch change. You know, Dave talked about you have an opportunity to go if you're a doctor, a dentist, a nurse, a construction worker, a tech person, or you just want to sit and do interviews with our church planners, there's a place for you on these teams. And I invite you to come and be a part of this. And we are watching change and transformation before our eyes. God is up to a great big thing and a great big work around the world. And as this church, we get to be a part of this. Another thing that's really been special is we got to launch Portland Christian Center Gojo a year and a half ago. This was a church that did as a church plant with 7 families a year and a half ago. As of our last visit, this church is now running 1,700 people in a year and a half. And they have 11 sites that they're prepping other church planters to go and launch in this area, in this community. And, you know, God is just on the move. And we're just so grateful that we get to be a part of a church like this. You know, when God called me into the ministry, I prayed to get to be a part of a church like this. And I hitched my wagon to this wagon train. And God has brought us here. And again, I just voice what Ray says. We are reaching the world, friends, and we are so very proud of you.
So yeah, this is how we change the world. We planted obviously a lot of churches, but Portland Christian Center now has Portland Christian Center and Gojo, an Assembly of God church running 1,700 people. We now have a church, Portland Christian Center in Kokoro Village, Uganda, running 3,000 people. I mean, we are on the move. It's all because of you. This, what you've seen today, what you've heard today, is just what we've done in 2017. This is how we change the world. We have been able to do this because of kingdom builders. We set a goal this year. We'd gotten out of debt. We set a goal. We want to give $1.5 million to kingdom builders efforts in 2017. And so far, up to this point, 10 and a half months into it, we have given $1.25 million. And so we have $250,000 to go. I think we're going to do it. And that's why I've saved this offering to the end of the service, because I know some of you are going to fulfill your pledges today, but some of you have been inspired by what you've heard. And you're saying, I want to get in on this. I want to invest in this. And if that's you, and maybe you're not ready to give in the offering today, in your bulletin, we have created a Kingdom Builders commitment card. And you would say, with God's help, if God is speaking to you, that between now and the end of the year, I believe God wants me to give X amount. Whatever that is, it's up to you, but whatever God prompts on your heart to do. And I would encourage you to do that today, and here's why. Because we still have some things to do the rest of this year, but we need to know how much resources we have to be able to do it. So where does all of this lead to? What's next for us? Well, that's where you come in. It really does depend on you. We've been advancing, as you can see, but we've still got things on the drawing board that we want to do to finish out this year. But we are waiting on the funding. And that's partly why I saved the offering to the end of the service today. And again, we want to keep our home base, our Jerusalem, strong. We want to make it stronger. We've neglected it for a while, but we want to continue to go to the ends of the earth. So we want to keep our home base strong. Let me just tell you a little bit about what we're still up to here. We need to refresh this building, among other things. We need to refresh this building that's not really been touched in 20 plus years. We're in the process. You saw some of the pictures in the opening video that James put together of refreshing our children's wing. We've done some neat things in our nursery, but we know we need to do the classrooms. We need to do the trailhead room. And we still are short of about $50,000 to finish it off, $50,000 to refresh our children's ministry physically. Our youth centers haven't been touched for a long time either. And we need about half that much. We're looking for about $25,000 to give them a makeover, to bring them up to speed to where our kids are in this culture today. By the way, if you designate giving toward either the children's ministry or the youth center, and we have two youth centers, a high school and a junior high room, we have dollar for dollar giving that has been committed. So $75,000 will turn in between the three, children, youth, junior high, high school. We hit that, we will have $150,000 to work with, and that will really get us down the road to where we need to go. We still desire to fix up our coffee cafe area and turn that into something that will be a feature part of our ministry here. We need to work on the lobby. We need some new carpet. Have you seen our carpet lately? You know, I have a carpet issue. I mean, this is driving me crazy. I have carpet issues, and we have not touched our carpet for 20 plus years. I calculated this week. You know how many footsteps that is on our. Some of you say, "Well, why worry about the carpet?" Well, first of all, the Lord rebuke you, but. I calculated how many footsteps, if you took the average attendance of Portland Christian Center for 52 weeks a year times 20 years, I calculated, I'm not stretching this, this is not a pastor speaking evangelistically, I calculated 100 million footprints have gone in and out of this building. Now you try that in your home and see if you don't need to replace the carpet. So, you know, and that's not cheap, but we just got to do that. I like to get on that, at least have some of the resources to start that early next year, but we need to bring that in this year. So that's locally, that's in the building that we need to do. In our global missions effort, we're trying to come alongside Convoy of Hope, one of the most amazing ministries that I know of, to help feed 60 African children every day. We said, we will help you. They have thousands. They have 125,000 kids. I think they're trying to go to a quarter of a million kids that don't get food on a daily basis. And we're saying, well, give us 60 of those. And I think it's about $10 a month to do that. For our church to take on 60 of them per year, it's a three-year commitment, it would take us $60,000 a year to do that. So we're looking for funding for that as well. In our PCC ministry, still unfunded, is my dream to develop a senior care advocacy ministry. I had to be down in Eugene yesterday with my mom and dad, who are in assisted living facilities, and to work through all of the labyrinth of processes that you need to go through to get help and to get them the right kind of help that they need is beyond my brain to be able to figure it out. I need some help. And one of the things that the Lord has spoken to me about is to help you with that as well, because we have aging parents that are in that system and have those needs. And there's a lot of things that are available to help them, but you just got to figure out how to do it. I would like to have someone at Portland Christian Center who's an expert at that can help you and me to walk our way through that. So those are just some of the things that we're still wanting to do by the end of this year, at least to get those launched. And so I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking you to help me in a financial way. And that's why in a moment we're going to receive this offering. It's also going to include our tithe, so don't forget that. But this is also the Kingdom Builders year-end offering. So I want you to think about that. And as we do, I want to remind you of a promise that God made to me to give to you. Not my promise to you, but this is God's promise to you. And this is what he said, that if you will take care of the things that I care about, I will take care of the things that you care about. And I've gone on that promise for a lot of years now, and God has fulfilled it, and then some. And so I want to make that promise on God's behalf to you, that whatever you do today to take care of the things that God cares about, and he cares about the unreached, he cares about the lost, he cares about the least of these, he cares about our church. Whatever you do to commit to that, to give to that, God says, I will take care of the things that you care about, and you can expect blessing to come into your life as you step out and obey. So I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare. I'm going to ask our musicians, our team to come in a moment. We're going to receive the offering. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to go home. But again, would you give generously to the work of the Lord here at Portland Christian Center? If you're not able to do that today, then just drop in your commitment card. This is what I think the Lord is asking me to do by the end of this year with His help. We're not going to come looking for you. This is not a bill. This is just simply a faith promise that you make to the Lord. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to come if they would, if you would get your gifts ready to go. Yes, it's offering time. And I want you to allow me to pray over this, if you would. So let's bow. And let's just ask the Lord to speak to us in these moments and to bless what we're about to do. Holy Spirit, I've waited to the end of the message to receive the offering because you told me to, because you wanted a chance, as people heard what we've done so far, you wanted the chance to bring a challenge and an encouragement and a sense of faith to their heart to greater missional giving than ever before. So Lord, thank you for your promise that if we will take care of the things that you care about, going to the unreached, going to the least of these, that you would take care of the things that we care about. So Father, I pray now that you would touch and talk to your people. I pray that you would help us to remember the primary reason why you baptized us with the power of the Holy Spirit. The primary purpose of that was so that we could take the good news to our Jerusalem and to our Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I pray that you would now speak to us and cement that call and that promise to us in our hearts. And Father, I also pray the prayer that King David prayed as he offered this plea to you from Psalm 67. He prayed, and so do I, Father, send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Lord, as we do that, how everyone throughout the whole earth will praise your name. They will praise the Lord because of what we've done. How glad the nations will be. How the people will sing for joy because they recognize that you are king above all the earth. And you will give justice to your people. God, send us around the world with news of your saving power, we pray. God, fulfill that through Portland Christian Center, both at home and abroad, both near and far, is my prayer. God, bless this offering and bless our giving and bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you as you give.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.